The new year gets off to a running start with a full moon on Sunday, January 4th. This full moon is called the Wolf Moon, and it's named for the hungry wolves that used to howl outside Indian villages in the deep snow and cold. Like December's full moon, it takes a very high trajectory across the sky, because when we're this close to the winter solstice, the northern hemisphere is tilted almost to the max, away from the sun and toward the full moon. Perfect fullness is at 10:53 p.m., about 6 hours after moonrise. This moon also sits right in the middle of the group of bright winter constellations that are now pretty well up in the south. Some people see the brightest stars in this group as forming a gigantic letter G in the sky. If you go out about 9 p.m. facing south and start with the bright star Aldebaran, west and a little north of Orion, and Aldebaran is in Taurus, you start with that and you move counterclockwise, you'll go first to the multicolored star Capella in Auriga at the 12 o'clock position, then to the Gemini twins Castor and Pollux, Pollux is brighter, then Procyon in Canis Minor, and then at the 6 o'clock position, the brightest of all, Sirius in Canis Major. Moving on, you'll encounter Rigel, the southwesternmost star in the Orion hourglass, and finally, turning northeast, mostly east, to make the tongue of the G, or just to finish it, we have the red supergiant star Betelgeuse, also in Orion. And the full moon will be between Betelgeuse and Pollux. Also on January 4th, Earth reaches perihelion, its closest point to the sun in its orbit. It happens at 12:36 that morning, and at that point we'll be only about 91.4 million miles from the sun. Earth moves fastest around the time of perihelion, and so do the other planets. The great German scientist Johannes Kepler described this in his second law of motion, and that states that a line segment connecting a planet and the sun sweeps out equal areas during equal intervals of time. These areas are shaped like slices of pizza, an elliptical pizza, of course, with the planet's orbit being the outer crust where you hold a slice of pizza. So during a given time period, how does a planet keep the area it sweeps out constant when sometimes it's far from the sun, sometimes it's close? Well, when it's far, the line segment will be very long. And so the arc of crust, or orbit, will be short in order to keep the area constant. And so you'll get a long, thin slice of area. But to trace out the same area when the planet is close to the sun, the slice doesn't have the length, so the planet has to move fast to get a piece that's the same area as the long, thin one, and you end up with a long arc of orbital crust and a short, broad slice of area. And that's the situation Earth is in now. It's moving fast and sweeping out a slightly shorter but broader area each day than in early July, when we're farthest from the sun. In astronomy news, you might remember the probe from the Rosetta spacecraft. That's the one that recently landed on a comet and bounced in the comet's weak gravity. Well, it just sent back data about the composition of water on the comet. There's been discussion as to where the water in Earth's oceans came from. It's thought that it had to come from space, either asteroids or comets. The data from Rosetta's probe shows that the comet's water contains 3 times the level of deuterium, which is a heavier form of hydrogen, as Earth's water does. This suggests, but by no means proves, that comets bombarding the early Earth weren't the source. The lead investigator said our oceans might well have come from a mix of sources. So I have a feeling that this topic is going to be around for a while. That's all for now, and happy star watching.